Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Virginia Tech takes care of Duke at Kessel.
Beatty dances in, sends it to Blackshear. Step back, lost his man, going to the bucket, and he's bringing the thunder with him.
Ooh, man, how about that shot from KJ? A little fake, take it baseline, jam it home with two.
68-61, Tech with the lead.
And went on to beat Duke last night. Of course, the headline was, Duke loses again without Zion Williamson. You do know that Virginia Tech... You do know Virginia Tech played without its point guard for the seventh game, Justin Robinson. And I know in a league that I've been watching that has the likes of Cassius Winston and Xavier Simpson, Justin Robinson is the single best point guard I have seen in person this year. The best. And Virginia Tech played without him last night and won, just like Duke played without Zion Williamson and didn't win. That's where we are in sports. Sean Morris and I had a long talk about this. You have 24 hours to discuss sports. And they don't talk. Nobody talks sports. They talk about everything else. Or they zero in on a person. And it's all about the person. Right? The person they think that will grab ratings. All right. So let's say just an example. I haven't even looked, so I may be, this will be a day I check it, and it's not going to be the way I think it is. But let's look at today's headlines. Right, today's headlines, normally there's one LeBron one. Manziel released, barred from other CFL teams. Pac-Man arrested at Indiana Casino. Eagles won't put franchise tag on Foles. Rosen's our quarterback. Golden Boy accuses Mayweather of tampering. And Iowa suspends McCaffrey over tirade. So this is one of the few days where there's no LeBron headline. Every day is a LeBron headline about something. I don't really care what he thinks. I don't really care how the Lakers are doing. Okay? I look at that, and I'd say, first thing to me, it's an instant turnoff right away where he's talking about something. I don't care anymore. To be honest with you, he's spoken so many words in the last 15-plus years. After a while, it's just becoming noise to me. I don't know about you, but it's just, there's no interest in my part as to what he thinks anymore. I don't know about you, Sean, but it's just how I look at it. And that part of it is because every time you turn around, there's some headline about him.
Well, there's good, good things must come to an end sometime. And this, looks like it's pretty clear that the Lakers aren't going to be making the playoffs. And if if they do, they got to get winning and get winning rather quickly. But just makes you wonder the chemistry of that team. I mean, it wasn't barely a month or so ago where you had a boatload of players that were going to go to New Orleans for Anthony Davis. So it just makes you wonder if the younger kids on that team are invested to play and if they're showing chemistry with LeBron. If they think, okay, I wonder if LeBron went to Magic and LeBron think, yeah, let's get Anthony Davis here. Yeah, LeBron happened to be in the news earlier this week. I guess he was out late before a game the night before with two chains or something. So TMZ.
Well, I don't care what he does. I mean, anybody who looks at him knows he's a hard worker.
Sure.
So if he wants to go out, that's fine. He is obviously a very hard worker. You can't be as skilled as he is, have the kind of game he has, and not be a hard worker.
But during all those times in Cleveland and Miami, this would be the time of year where, yeah, you'd get that look from him. The playoffs, the rush to the playoffs finally goes, the switch turns on. And then that eventually has a trickle-down effect to the rest of the team, but I just, with this dynamic in Los Angeles, just wonder if it's if that's going to work.
Yeah, that I don't know. That I don't know. But you know what? It's just he's spoken so many words over the years, and so many and to be frank with you, 75% of the headlines that you see on ESPN.com about LeBron, 75%, either are of no interest to me, and the reason that they're no interest to me is I think they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. I mean, give me headlines that are headlines, something that's relevant. LeBron thinks Cavs are poised. Oh, okay, well, I'm sure Jason Tatum thinks the Celtics are, too. The Celtics are not playing well. I'm sure Kawhi Leonard thinks the Raptors are. But, of course, they're trying to generate clicks. Everything today is about generating clicks. You know, and I guess for the old guy here, I could care less about. All right, maybe I shouldn't say I don't care about generating clicks because we all know how the biffer gets all excited about streaming
right.
numbers.
Okay. Right. Very true.
And evidently, our streaming numbers and our podcast numbers are considered to be really good, right?
Podcast numbers doing very well. Yep. Facebook likes have been terrific so far in the start of 2019. Nice increase there. Mm-hmm. We're off and running this year.
See, I do my part.
Well, sure.
to care about clicks. But you know me. Have I ever once cared about a click?
That would be a no, and never will.
It's just... But do I care, along with you, about putting out the best show every day? Now, they're all not going to be A's. I mean, there'll be one or two A-minuses. That's what we do, the bowl pick'em segment. There's one of the A-minuses.
Yeah.
I don't know what causes that? Something's different about that.
I was concerned, though, at the beginning of the Johnny Holiday interview yesterday. He thought he had you. Thought he had you with that little nugget of Penn State Maryland basketball from the early 1960s. And we're talking
61.
Before. Yeah, he and I were talking before he joined you. And he goes, I got him this time. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get
him. He was disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see him tonight. I love that guy. I know that this is years ago. This is sports information, okay? Sports information department. And, of course, I'm old school, so to me the job of the sports information department is to put out as much information as possible. Some of it is great for the public, and others is to help the media get ready for a game. Or help them post-game, whatever it may be. I mean, that's my view of what it should be. Look, I'm self-sufficient, as you know. Almost to a point where it's maddening for I actually, believe it or not, one time I actually had, at Channel 3, we had an area secretary, and she came up to me and she said, how come you never ask me to do anything? And I said, well, I can take care of it. And it's the same thing when I'm getting ready for games. I rarely, if ever, ask a sports information person for a favor. Rarely, if ever. I can find it myself, or I can take care of it myself. So this part doesn't affect me at all.
Well, that's part of your routine, because you were very heavy with your prep, and you prep well ahead of time, so you're well-schooled as to what's coming up.
Right. So what I'm about to say does not affect me. That's my point. It's not Rose now, because Rose is remarkable. She does a great job.
But who would have thought she would appear on our show yesterday? Johnny mentioned her at the beginning, then she's on at the end. So she bookended your chat with Johnny.
Well, I texted Rose, and I said, we just got the numbers back. We had a rating spike when you came on. She texted me back. She said, you just made my night. But years ago, there was something, and it is nothing I needed, so it had nothing to do with me. And I was talking to the sports information person along with somebody else, And they were talking about their Twitter account, and they said that all that mattered to them in the office was how many clicks they got. And I thought, that's where we are? How many clicks we get to let us know whether we're doing a good job or not? That's not, to me, that's not doing a good job. I thought that's why you had a marketing department. Do we want to get to that point where, because, and I'll go back to what I've talked about previously when it comes to this subject. You and I can sit there and we're waiting for something and click on it 8 times and it counts as 8 clicks, even though it's not at the spot we want it to be in. Okay, I'll come back in 5 minutes, boom. I'll come back in 2 minutes, boom. I'll come back in 3 minutes. And it counts as, we had 8 views. No, you didn't have 8 views. I didn't. I looked at him and go, that's not it. So, it's a very inexact science. All right, Iowa. Fran McCaffrey. Last night, for the first time in his career, Connor McCaffrey was hit with a technical foul. Okay. And he was complaining about a foul that was called on him. And if you watch the replay, he does foul him. So it's not a bad call. Then his dad, Fran McCaffrey, then got a technical foul. Following the game at Ohio State, McCaffrey is going down the hallway, the back hallway that I'm very familiar with, and he calls out official Steve McJunkins, quote, a cheating MF and a F disgrace. You can fill in whatever what you want to use for F. Freak, whatever. Okay. All right. I think you get the general idea, okay? Now, that was down the hallway he yelled at, but it was also heard by somebody from the Toledo Blade and from the Columbus Dispatch. When he got to the media room, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about that. Well, the Big Ten decided today that I can't do that. And they have suspended Fran McCaffrey for 2 games. The Big Ten has also fined the school $10,000 for violating the sportsmanship policy. McCaffrey did release a statement. He says, I am in total agreement with the suspension by Iowa Athletics and the fine levied by the Big Ten. My comments directed toward a game official were regretful. I apologize to the Big Ten Conference, Iowa Athletics, my players, staff, and the tremendous Hawkeye fans. The behavior is not acceptable, and I take full responsibility for my inappropriate actions. Okay, if you notice, who did he apologize to? The Big Ten. Oh, 2 Big Ten officials, but that could be the front office. Why don't you apologize to Steve McJunkins, who, by the way, is here tonight, just so you know. He's doing the game tonight. Steve McJunkins, in my opinion, is a very good official. And you know how I look at officials in the category of A, Bs, and Cs? This is what I think of Steve McJunkin. In my opinion, he is a solid B official. What can B officials do? Every once in a while, they'll give you a C performance. You're like, ugh. But also, many, many times, they'll give you an A performance. Steve McJunkin is that kind of guy. He gives far more A's than C's. And I think Steve McJunkins is a very good official. Right now, Iowa would be a 7th seed, according to Joe Lenardi. And they're currently 32nd in the net. So he's going to be suspended for 2 games. And we'll go from there. Okay. Now, as for their broadcaster, Gary Dolphin. If you recall, Gary Dolphin was suspended for a comment he made about Bruno Fernando, who's also here tonight. Gary Dolphin is going to be, he was suspended for the rest of the season. He is going to be reinstated by Iowa beginning with football spring practice. So he won't do any more basketball games. He is having a press conference at this hour as we speak. It was the second suspension of the year. And so Gary is going to get reinstated starting with spring practice. I think you know the friendship over the years I've had with Gary Dolphin, of which, and I could say that about Paul Keels. Obviously, you guys, I think you get the general impression that Johnny and I might like each other. Across the board. I mean, all these guys. Matty Shepard. I'm going to see Matt LePay coming up on Saturday, who's one of the all-time greats. But, all right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Had to do a little MacGyver work to get it done today, but yes, we did.
As if nothing ever happened.
I miss Harry. I mean, just when you need somebody, they're out on some sales call trying to convince them to get digital media. But you and I got it done. Yeah, we're in a different world. I mean, we're in a completely different world now. A world that, I mean, let's face it, 10 years ago, I didn't anticipate the power of Twitter. Well, I remember when Twitter came out. When Twitter came out. Because you already had Facebook. And there are a few others that were like that.
Twitter was taking off, I think, right about this time 10 years ago. I think it was almost 10 years ago when I joined Twitter.
I remember when it first, like, I thought Facebook would be huge. And there was something else that was something like Facebook. I can't remember what it was called.
Well, it was MySpace.
MySpace, whatever. Yeah. You know, and I thought, oh, yeah, it'll be the way people will communicate.
And then Justin Timberlake tried to resurrect MySpace. I guess he funneled a bunch of money into that and didn't really go anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And so, dozen years ago, I thought, well, that'd be a big way people would communicate. And I could see it. Like, okay. Twitter came out, then 140 characters? I didn't see it. Now, obviously, a dozen years later, I see it. I see it as the prime, such a prime communication way of doing things. What really struck me is, in 2013, in the Boston Marathon bombing, I found myself going to look at Twitter accounts of reporters at a news conference to get an idea of what was going on at the news conference. And that's the way it's been. I think it's expanded to 280 characters now.
That is correct. And also, when you, if someone follows you on Twitter and if you want to send them a direct message, you have unlimited characters. It used to be you only had 140 characters if you wanted to direct message someone.
Yes.
So that's been a big help.
Yes. Yes, I got one of those last night from one James Franklin.
That is correct.
On a direct message.
Yes.
Which I'll get to here. Not on the air, but I'll get to it at some point. That's the one area that's, you know, most everything I've looked at in my career, I've said, okay, well, that's going to be big. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. Now that'll be big. Twitter's the only one I missed on, where I looked at it and went, really? 140 characters? Really? But now we're all about clicks and the misjudgment of clicks. I mean, it's just such a big misjudgment on clicks these days. Clicks does not mean... Hey, let's just pick something. Sean put something out on Twitter. 100 people click on it, and they look at it, and they click off it right away. It's like, yeah, that's not what I thought. It registers as 100. even though there may be eight people interested. So it's a skewed way of looking at it. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Boy, Iowa's making a lot of news. Fran McCaffrey's going to address the media next, suspended for two games after his hallway tirade against one of the officials in last night's game at Ohio State. So he's suspended for two games. School fined $10,000. They also announced that their longtime broadcaster and a guy, as you know, I consider to be a friend, Gary Dolphin, is going to be reinstated to his job beginning with the spring game. He will not broadcast a basketball game the rest of the season, but he'll be reinstated to his job after once spring football starts for Iowa. So they're making a lot of news today. And I'm going to at least pass both of those on to you. Let's see. Any LeBron headlines? No. Well, slow day. Chelsea leads Tottenham 1-0.
There you go. Oh, we like that.
What's going on here? Is that good, bad?
Well, that's actually pretty good. Kepa, their goalie, he didn't start today. Willie Caballero is in at goal for Chelsea. They lost to Manchester City on Sunday. They were playing an English Cup Championship game. It wasn't a Premier League game. And Man City won on penalty kicks. But Mauricio Sarri, the manager, I guess he wanted Kepa to come out of the game, and there was an argument between the two. I guess he wanted to bring Kepa out, get Willie in. So there's been a little bit of a tiff. And I guess the coach had to put his foot down. And so that's why Willie is in at goal today instead of Kepa. Kepa's the he's the most expensive goalie on the planet. And he joined Chelsea from Spain.
Okay.
And Thibaut Courtois left to go back to Spain to Real Madrid. So there's some good soccer info. Currently sitting in sixth place in the Premier League. Yeah, quite a bit of action going on today. There's actually five, six games going on today. And Chelsea Tottenham is the big one. Actually, Tottenham has beaten Chelsea at. Tottenham has beat Chelsea, I think, the last couple of years at Stamford Bridge. So, the Blues are due to get one in the London Derby today. So there you go.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I feel a lot better.
But the Fighting Jeff Tarmans, you got Liverpool. They're looking for their first ever Premier League title.
I know.
Yeah, they got a shot. So, but you don't need me to tell you. You probably already knew that. You get your. Get your Liverpool update tonight, Jeff.
Believe me. I mean, Dick and I sit there and go, yeah, great. Yeah, terrific.
Like you're doing right now.
Terrific, great. Love it. Cam Sullivan Brown, by the way, people may be wondering, is working out with the football team. He put his name in the transfer portal. He's actually out there working out with them. So he'd be the second guy that would change his mind. Okay, ESPN. Now, this is a really good article. ESPN doesn't have a lot of good ones, to be frank with you. Most of it's just fluff and nothing. But this one was very good. They asked their analysts, what's one on-court rule that you would change? Now, you know, Fran Fraschilla, let's see, they have Fran Fraschilla, Seth Greenberg, and Dan Dockage. Now, those are three guys you know that I personally like and really respect. Fran Fraschilla, I mean, you want to talk about it. You can talk basketball for him for hours.
Well, I mean, between the three of those and you included, I mean, yeah. the acumen, the ball that you've watched over the decades and what you know, I mean, that's off the charts.
Remember, Fran did the NIT last year at Madison Square Garden. And we talked for a couple hours between shoot-arounds and things like that. Fran says he's a big, and I know this, he's a big advocate of international basketball. He says, so there are a few that really, as he writes, tickles his fancy. He would like to see college basketball go to four quarters instead of two halves. Now, this is the year they changed the rules, Sean. In other words, I want to say it's in May that they can change the rules. He makes a point about that he doesn't think they're going to do this. And I agree with him because the TV timeout is critical to broadcasting games. And right now you have a great system of the under 16, 12, 8, and 4. Plus there's a 30-second timeout each coach can call in the first half. And the first timeout of the second half is a full timeout, so you get 5. And this is revenue we're talking about. He would like to see, he does like the fact that they experiment with the rules in the NIT. And I agree with his suggestion completely. And I liked this last year. That if you get an offensive rebound, the shot clock should not go to 30, it should go to 20. In other words, you've already cleared the 10-second line. You have an offensive rebound. So you don't need that 10 seconds. In the NBA, if you notice, they go from 24 and there's an offensive rebound, it recycles to 14. What you will need to do, though, is you need to get the software to do that. Last year, Baylor and the NIT in the first game they played could not do that. And the reason they could not do that was because they didn't have the software to do it. That was the reason. Did not have the software. They finally got the software for their second game, and they lost, and it didn't matter anymore. But they'll have to get the software for all the scoreboards to do that. You're going to see, I think, people want to move the three-point line back to the international line, which is what they played with last year in the NIT. That ended up being fine. Seth Greenberg said two things. He'd go back to the five-second closely guarded rule, and he'd go to the NBA's advance the ball late rule. I disagree with the first. The second one about advance the ball, no. I mean, I know it gives you that late game situation. I got it. But I don't know. I railed for years against the 5-second closely guarded rule. And here's my reason. It's a 30-second shot clock. I would go for the 5-second closely guarded rule if we were back in the old days when I first started my career, there was no shot clock. Well, the shot clock of my career has gone from 45 to 35 to 30. If you have a 30-second shot clock, in my opinion, you don't need a 5-second closely guarded rule, and it's also one less thing for the officials to do. I want them looking at other things besides going into a count and having to think about the count. Watch the game. And I said that part, that's one of the reasons why I've always been against it. So I'm not with Seth Greenberg on that one. The advance the ball, I'd like to see it experimented with in the NIT and see how people look at it. Because I already see it in the NBA, and we're used to it in the NBA. Dan Dockage would not allow live ball timeouts. You couldn't call a timeout while the game was going on. You can only call a timeout when the clock is stopped or a guy made a bucket or something. The problem I have is if I want to advance the ball up the floor and in other words, we're just talking about an automatic advancement of the ball late like the NBA. Well, in college, you can bring the ball up to that point and then call a timeout. So that's that. I know what he's talking about, time there. All the off-the-court stuff deals with contact with the recruits. Dan Dockin says, I would like coaches see and visit players as often as they want. I think you need to get to know players. And I think that's something I've talked about many times on the show, as you know, Sean, is that the that part of the problem in recruiting happens to be they don't get to know players very well. Now, I've always felt that that was an issue about the ability to really get to know somebody. It's probably a little bit better now because you do have the use of Twitter. But I also think that how well do they know the individuals, what makes them tick, how everything works.
That's interesting, though. I'll go the football side of it just and mix Twitter into this as well. I'll follow various, I don't follow various players, but various sources I follow on Twitter. They will catch wind of a tweet and retweet. Like, I'll see, this player just received his 12th offer from this university. So that makes you wonder if there's not a lot of communication going on, but they're still getting all these multiple offers from all these schools. You'd think they'd be building relationships if kids are getting that many offers from these schools.
Yeah, you wonder about that. You do. Well, as TK said, it's an interesting time in sports. And this is going to be interesting moving forward as to what they do. There's so much change happening so quickly. Now, we don't need to go back in time. I mean, there are obviously some really good things happening right now. But some of this, the NCAA does not do a very good job in the area of reaction. Reaction has never been their strong suit. I always wonder when I hear some of these rules, did someone in the room say, okay, let's discuss for a moment unintended consequences? And my guess is going to be probably they did, but not as extensively as they should. And I've always wondered about that part. Have they looked at unintended consequences as strongly as they should? You know, it's just something I wonder about. Not trying to be overly critical or anything like that. I wonder about it. I knew when how often did I talk between the middle of August and going into October about the transfer portal thing starting October 15th?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Because I said,
and making it clear to all of us about the four games that you can be in, and it can be any mix of four games as to whether you can continue with red shirts,
And then talking about I said the portal is going to start on the 15th. And they can't stop you. There is nothing that can stop you at that point. You can go back, try to make that point too, and you've seen two Penn State players come back. But it has opened up a very interesting dialogue. They're giving players so much freedom. Okay, I'm a big believer in loyalty, as you know. I am a big believer in contract fulfillment, as you know. It's interesting that when you sign a letter of intent, is that a contract? We'll do this for you if you do this for us. And we have this big go-around about four-year scholarships. That way the coaches can't eliminate them. 4-year scholarships. And these guys are bagging on after 1-2 years. Got Bosa quitting in the middle of the year. Okay, great. So why, when it comes to Bosa, I wouldn't draft him. Would not draft him. Because I'd be sitting at the combine face-to-face with him saying, if something doesn't quite go right for you with us, are you just going to quit in midseason? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, you just did it at Ohio State. You just walked out on everybody. I'm done. I'm going to take care of me. I'd ask the question. It's a job interview. I'm allowed to ask that question. I'm taking his past history and asking him. Hey, you know, that's a character issue. It's about you. It's not about anybody else. The last I checked it, you know, I know that you're going to get your money here. You're going to get a bonus. You're going to get a contract and the whole deal. But are you going to be able to, at the first sign of trouble, are you going to stick with us, or are you just going to, it's going to be about you? It's a fair question, and he brought it on himself. I keep going back to, let's take R.J. Barrett on that. He had 30 against Syracuse. He might not have a game like that the rest of the year. That was a perfect time to, you know what, I'm going to go, you know, good time, I'm going to go to the draft. I'm just going to get ready for the draft. I'm not going to get better in college than what I did on Saturday night up at the Dome. What's to keep him from saying that? Anything? Is there anything to keep him from saying that? I'm done. Now, these sound like extreme situations to you. Are they? Based on what we're seeing here in the last 2 years? Are these really? I mean, my concern is I'm on a 5-4 football team. It's October 29th. We, you know, we're not going to win the division. We're not going to win the conference. And, you know, really, I mean, I'm going to skip the Holiday Bowl anyway. So what's that? You know what? I'm just going to get ready for the draft now. What's to keep a player from doing that now? Anything? All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Wrapping things up, hoops tonight. Penn State, Maryland at the Jordan Center. Big game for both teams. Penn State trying to stay hot. Maryland trying to continue to enhance its resume. And that'll be at the Jordan Center tonight. Actually, a pretty good crowd considering it's a Wednesday night. It is scheduled to be on hand this evening. See how that plays out.
Yeah, nice early game. 6:30 here on WKOK. Of course, you and Dick will be on at 6. And Eagle 107, Bucknell at Navy tonight. 6:30 with Doug and Nathan Davis.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Doug, and he says, I had the basketball season. I just feel so free. Like, oh. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah. By the way, earlier this week,
did you hazard a guess? Or
no, I just glazed right past that.
Yeah.
So, I've learned. Pick my spots.
Yeah.
So, following up from your conversation with Dave Cicchini earlier this week, the new Bucknell head football coach, it was announced earlier today that Bucknell's spring game will be Friday night, April the 12th at 7:30 at Christie. And the spring schedule will start with a night practice on Tuesday, March 19th.
Good. Get a first look at what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into personnel much with him. You know, I wanted to get into some philosophy and how he views certain items of the college game today, about what it means to go to Bucknell, why he took the Bucknell job, with the idea that having him back on after the spring game, where now he's had a chance to actually sit there and evaluate what they can do and what they can't do. Now, how does it fit the system he wants to run? Does he have to adapt his system at all based on the personnel he has? There's a lot of questions like that that you don't want to ask before they go out there. You want to let him have some spring practices, scrimmages, so forth, where now at least he has a read on personnel. He also has a read from his coaching staff as to what they think of the personnel, too. And so we'll do that after the spring game. But thought he handled himself on the show really well, I'm sure. Because, as you know, most of the interviews here have that 60 minutes feel to them. No? Okay.
Yeah, but they have more substance, more meat and potatoes, more to
no,
go
no,
with.
Well, no, he's just... I mean, I know when we've had the suit on for certain things, the five-minute segments have felt like 60 minutes. Oh, that's a different...
I got to get back on the horn with your brother. I tried to call Kevin before the show started this afternoon, and the first time I called Jones Metal, someone else answered the phone, and Kev came to the phone about a minute later, but there was a lot of machinery going on in the background, and I kept saying hello, but I have to try back and make sure he's going to be joining us tomorrow, because he can't wait till Friday.
Machinery.
Yeah.
That doggone machinery.
Yeah.
Oh, I grew up around that.
Right.
Now I'm sitting here, baby soft hands, no calluses. They point me toward whatever, and I talk for a living. Yeah. Guess who took the easy way out? That's me. Yeah, we'll have him on tomorrow. Talk to him tomorrow. And that's off to Madison, off to Madtown. They played last night's game between Wisconsin and Indiana. You know how I have discussed that the aesthetics sometimes of Big Ten basketball are not the greatest. That was example A last night. Mm. The game goes to overtime, and I'm sitting there because Penn State's going to play Wisconsin next. So I thought, just keep watching it. I forced myself to watch the two overtimes, thinking, my goodness, this is not good basketball. So I'm hanging there.
Indiana still have trouble hitting threes?
They both did. I mean, both coaches, balls in midair, finding religion. Please, oh, please, let it go in. It wasn't pretty.
Not to be confused with those tractor pulls during the Bo Ryan days. That's different.
Well, why do you think we have some of the rules we have today in college basketball? Back in 2000, in Indianapolis, Wisconsin made the Final Four, and they played Michigan State in the semifinal. It was 19-18, Michigan State at halftime.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.